ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Georgia Stanway to make it three for England, and she does! To cap off a comfortable display for the Lionesses, a frustrating one for Australia.
It's safe to say that a 3-0 loss is not the result Joe Montemurro and the Matildas were hoping for when they took on the Lionesses earlier this week. Not helped by an early red card to Alana Kennedy, the Matildas were unable to land a blow on the fourth-ranked team in the world. Sometimes a loss like this can galvanise a group, and sometimes it can splinter them. We're still early in the Montemurro era, but are we seeing enough to give belief in time for a home Asian Cup that has World Cup qualification implications? I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Alicia Ferguson is a former Matilda and is the current coach of the Para Matildas. Ish, the Chillies went down to the Lionesses 3-0 earlier this week. Let's start there. What went wrong?
Well, we played against the fourth-ranked team in the world and current European champions, and they've gone back-to-back. They're an exceptional squad. They've got Serena Wiegmann at the helm as their head coach and the depth in that team. It was always going to be a challenge. Add to that, Alana Kennedy getting a straight red card in the 19th minute.
It's a poor giveaway at the top of the 18-yard box. Alana Kennedy in trouble here. The referee goes to her pocket. What colour is it going to be? I think there's only one answer to that question. She's shown the red, given her marching orders.
And that made the whole experience a lot more difficult.
So obviously losing a player that early, not ideal. But I think what stood out to me was that they seemed unable to adjust or adapt to being one player down. Did that concern you?
I think what they had was a really specific plan that Joe and the players were trying to implement against what is a quality opposition. So Joe's style of play obviously really wants to have attacking possession-based. Tends to be that we play quite deep, play out from the goalkeeper, try and engage the opposition so they come further up the pitch towards us, and then we can break through those lines and transition quickly and attack. However, when you lose someone like Alana Kennedy in the middle of the pitch, that's a big hole. And yeah, I don't think, one, there had been no expectation that we'd get a straight red card and we'd go down to 10 players, but it did seem like it took until halftime for the team to adjust to that.
You know, second half, we made a few adjustments and probably limited a little bit of the opportunities, you know, in the box for England, but they're a world-class side. They started well even before the sending off.
It looked to me like they were just continuing on with what their original game plan was. And against a team like England, you just open yourself up. There were so many gaps in there, so they didn't quite compensate for losing a player as well as I think they would have wanted to.
This could be seen as a learning opportunity then, if that's the case. They obviously, you don't foresee losing someone so early, but the fact that they weren't kind of able to adjust, it took until halftime, and even then they looked a little bit at sea in the second half as well. What would you like to see them learning from that opportunity?
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons. I think the thing going into the Asian Cup is these teams are so good. They're technically so proficient and very, very good at keeping possession. You look at the stats against England. England completed 720 passes. We got 299. Now, even taking a player out of that, so we've only got 10 players, that's still a big difference. You know, 70% possession compared to 30%. And to be honest, even within the first 19 minutes of the match, Aggie Beaver-Jones on the left-hand side was getting in behind, actually had a goal disallowed for offside.
Tries to release the run of Beaver-Jones, does really, really well. Aggie Beaver-Jones, a muted celebration though. The offside flag has gone up. Matildas get away with one there.
There was pockets of space in between our midfield and our defenders that England were exploiting. So then taking that in forward, looking into the Asian Cup, yes, that's what Joe wants to employ is like, when we have possession of the ball, that means we don't have to defend. So keeping possession is actually for a purpose, and also, you know, makes it more difficult for the opposition. Chasing the game and defending without the ball is more tiring. However, we've got a bit of work to do.
Finds a pass through, slices like butter. Lucy Bronze makes it look all too easy And as simple as you like.
And I know it all sounded positive. Sammy said after the game that they'd worked on a plan all through the week and everything was working really well.
Yeah, it's really hard to judge the game because we had such a different plan for the game. But look, I thought to only concede, I guess, the one in the second half penalty at the end, I thought that was positive. But it's really hard to judge when you go down against 10 men. You don't plan for that all week.
So, yeah, huge lesson to take out of that. But I think also just continuing to improve us maintaining possession and putting together multiple passes in passages of play is what they'll want to make big strides between now and Asian Cup.
Ellie Carpenter said post-match that it was a game to forget, but with sort of 4 months to go until Australia hosts that Asian Cup, forgetting can sometimes feel a bit fraught. These kinds of losses can often be something that galvanises a group and sharpens the focus, but they can also do the opposite. They can strip a team of confidence and belief. Which way do you think this will go for the Matildas?
A nice wake-up call. I think also we talk about 4 months, but when you talk about the contact hours that Joe has with these players, it's not a lot. So even when you're in camp coming into an international window, you've usually got 2 or 3 days with the players, then a couple of games. So you're playing, recovering, playing. That's not a lot of time. I think there's a lot of familiarity between a lot of the players that Joe has coached previously about his style of play and what he wants to implement. However, hours on the pitch, hours on the training pitch, getting that repetition and understanding of movement patterns and keeping that possession-based game plan alive is what we're going to struggle with.
And you mentioned those sort of contact hours, and Montemurro's only been in the role for 5 months or so, and in that time he's had 2 international windows to try and get this group sort of into a formation that he likes, that suits him. We've seen him changing positions around, moving the magnets, trialling different starting 11s, different goalkeepers. So given all of that context, is this result really that surprising?
I don't think so, because I also need to give credit to what is an exceptional England team. And even some of their depth of the newer players coming through, there was a couple of debutants last night. And Serena Wiegmann is an amazing tactician and a wonderful coach and a wonderful person as well, which is shown in the England success. So this was always going to be a tough game. Putting yourself up against having a player down doesn't really give you a really solid indicator of where you are as a team, because you're trying to manage all those things. So that's probably a little bit frustrating from the player's point of view, which is probably what Ellie was, you know, alluding to.
Yeah, obviously one that we want to forget. We obviously have a lot to work on. You know, the Asian Cup is very soon, and I think tonight was a big lesson for us. Also, how do we handle things, obstacles, if, you know, we do go a play down, how do we react from that? So I think this is a good learning opportunity for us.
So I think that's one of probably the most frustrating points for it. But the players know Joe Montemurro. Joe's been around. He's been in the A-League women. He's coached the players at Arsenal. He's coached Elliot Leon. He has a specific style of play that all the players are familiar with, and a lot of them have played underneath him. So now it is just moving and getting, again, just getting that fluidity and understanding for this group of players now on the pitch and getting the repetition of it. You know, Alana Kennedy has played in that number 6-8 role throughout her career. So it's not uncommon for us to see her push further into midfield. So, you know, they're little tweaks, but great to see, you know, Courtney Vines back in the fold. Mary Fowler was back in camp. So we're going to keep pushing that depth leading into the Asian Cup, but it's just, you know, getting time together, getting those training sessions. And more than games, the training sessions is where you really get things running and moving and working really well. So I think, yeah, they're just probably a bit annoyed that they weren't able to try and implement that against England.
The other talking point out of this game is Sam Kerr. She's still making her way back to full minutes, and as a result, there sort of has been some questions around her leadership, which Coach Joe Montemurro was pretty quick to shut down post-match.
I make football decisions. I'm not going to make any political decisions. Sam is an important part of what we're trying to do, and as far as we're concerned, we just kept the status quo going forward, and we're happy with her continuing on as captain.
Are we asking too much of her to make her way back to form after a massive layoff with an injury and also be the leader of this group?
I don't think so. Sammy just takes it all in her stride, right? She can seem like the, not that there's a lack of care factor, but, you know, like her demeanour doesn't change too much from missing chances to winning. You know, she's a goal scorer. She's a winner. That's what she wants to do. I think it was great to see her get so many minutes.
It's just coming back from injury, you just one day feel good, one day don't. And today I felt good. Yeah, Joe's been great. There's been a lot of demand on the players, but I think everyone's responded.
I think it's difficult for her at Chelsea at the moment. Her daily training environment will be excellent because there's world-class players there. But she's going to find it hard to actually break back into that starting 11. So to see her get so many minutes for the Matildas, I think was a real positive. What we now need to do is play to Sammy's strengths, which Chelsea have done in the past. You know, get her the ball into the box between shoulder height and head height, and you probably got a goal from Sammy. So getting her that service is super important. We didn't have the opportunity to do that against England.
Inside is Catley, Kerr, a chance and can't quite hook it around Hampton.
So that's also, you know, something that I think Joe and the team will be looking at. I thought Caitlin Ford was pretty quiet. However, you go a player down, then you don't have as much opportunity to attack. Kato's in great form. Like, Kato, I think, is a crucial player for us through the Asian Cup. So it was just one of those missed opportunities. And missed opportunities because Alana got a straight red card. And then, you know, everything that you want to try, it just doesn't work.
Finally, the Asian Cup is obviously a huge deal, but it's not just about winning silverware on our home shore. It's also an avenue to qualify for the 2027 Women's World Cup. Should we be worried?
There's lots of pressure there. There is a lot of pressure there. The Asian Confederation is tough. You've got DPR Korea, who have won all the underage World Cups. You've got Korea Republic, who knocked us out last time in the quarterfinal. Japan, still one of the best technical teams in the world. It's a tough competition. It's a really tough competition. Should we be worried? No, we have to be confident that we have a really good team. We've got a really solid squad who are playing at some of the biggest clubs in the world. They're playing in Champions League. They've won Champions League. They understand what the pressure is. They play with pressure week in, week out. So should we be worried? No. Is it going to be tough? Yes. But that's the whole point of football. You deserve and you get your place through earning it. So I think it's going to be a really exciting tournament. It's great. The first game, Australia's game at the Gold Coast against Iran has been sold out. So another tournament on home soil, and the Tillies love it. They get themselves up for it so much when they play in front of their home fans.
Well, we do hope they can capture some of that former momentum they had the last time they had a big tournament here on Australian soil. Ish Ferguson, it's going to be an interesting few months for the Tillies. Thanks so much for your time.
No, pleasure, Poppy.
Headlines. Tragic news out of Ferntree Gully Cricket Club in Melbourne's East that a 17-year-old boy has died after being struck in the neck by a ball while training. Ben Austin was wearing a helmet in the nets when he was struck by a ball thrown by what is known as a wanger. Cricket Australia chair Mike Baird spoke this morning about the incident.
Well, there's some days where your heart is broken, and you know, today is one of them. The tragic circumstances of Ben at Ferntree Gully are circumstances that are going to be felt across the country. Cricket is a sport that brings people together, communities together. It's hard to put words on it. What we want to say is that we are doing everything we can to support the family, the club, and all those impacted by this tragic news.
CA are planning to pay tribute to the young man, whose family have said in a statement, "This tragedy has taken Ben from us, but we find some comfort that he was doing something he did for so many summers, going down to the nets with mates to play cricket. He loved cricket and it was one of the joys of his life." Meanwhile, Cricket Australia defended itself after announcing an $11.3 million loss in the last financial year, despite a huge 2024-25 summer hosting India, saying they're looking at another big summer with the Ashes starting next month. This comes just 2 days after they confirmed they would be cutting operational and financial support for indoor cricket. On field, the first T20 between Australia and India was washed out in Canberra last night. Game two is in Melbourne on Friday. In the NRL, Ryan Papenhuyzen has been granted immediate release from the Melbourne Storm, with 1 year still to run on his contract. A statement from the Storm said he wanted to take time away from the sport to consider his future. He is one of the rumoured targets of the Rebel Rugby Union competition R360. AFL and Richmond Tiger Dion Prestia and Melbourne Demon Stephen May have both been charged over their alleged involvement in a Boxing Day brawl last December. Prestia says he's innocent and plans to defend the charges, and at the time of recording, we're yet to hear from May. Both men will face court next month. And the Australian Diamonds Trophy cabinet is once again complete after winning the Constellation Cup in a thriller against New Zealand. The Silver Ferns won the fourth game of the series, tying at 2-2, which means it went to a sudden death decider, 2 7-minute halves, which Australia won by 1 point with seconds to spare. The victory was soured, however, with defender Sunday Ariang rupturing her ACL in the last contest of the game. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to ITV and Paramount Plus for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.